This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Hello, it's Tuesday the 12th of March. I'm Alex von Tonsemann and I'm back once again with the Renegade Master, D4 Damager, Power to the People. Welcome back to Paper Cuts, the modern newspaper review. Every day we spin the thread of the British press, measure it out and cut it with our abhorred shears. Yes, that was a Fatboy Slim reference followed by a Greek mythological allegory in the first 15 seconds of this show. We spoil you. Thanks so much to all of you who've joined the Paper Cuts Supporters Club. It's supporters like you who make this fully independent media possible. From just £3.60 a month, you can get the show ad-free, and there are extra funny bits available too. Cheaper than chips? Have at it. There's a link in the show notes. And I'd just like to say get well soon to Paper Cuts panellist and Guardian sketchwriter John Crace. John announced on social media that he had a heart attack on Friday. We're really glad to hear he's being well cared for, and we want to send him all our love and best wishes for a smooth and speedy recovery. John, if you're listening, we can't wait to have you back on the show as soon as you're ready. Now, here are the top stories for today's show. Who's that girl? Media backtracks on the Princess of Wales' dodgy photo editing. You can't reform this. 30p Lee Anderson defects from the Conservatives and more Tories may follow. And sign of the times. Gen Z kids won't work with you if your horoscope is off. Welcome to Paper Cuts. We read the papers so you don't have to. Thanks for joining us on Paper Cuts, where we're all wearing our sequined Y-fronts this morning in honour of Emily Blunt's Oscar frock. Very itchy. I'm Alex von Tonsemann, and with me today is Podmaster's Grand Fromage, Jacob Jarvis. Hello, Jarv.
Hello.
And also with me is comedian and petit saucisson, Gronje Maguire. Hello, Gronje.
Bonjour.
Oui. What are the front pages looking like, Jarv?
On the Times, there's a picture of Camilla and William, which I can say doesn't look like it's been photoshopped.
That's quite
fortunate. They've got the Princess apologises for edited family photo. So following on from, I'm sure we've all seen Kate having apparently tweaked that photo. Then they have a big piece about Boris Johnson. Johnson to join election campaign in Red Wall, which is very strange, seeing as he's very disliked, but hopefully that'll work for them, I guess.
Go for it, guys.
Yeah. And then the eye has Tories delay British ISA 5k tax-free savings until after election. Yep, it's exclusive. It's an exclusive, so that makes it somewhat exciting there. So yeah, flagship UK ISA policy unveiled in the budget last week will be delayed until after the general election. They've also got someone saying, "I was a fly tipper. Now I've joined the squad fighting to keep our streets clean." So really a good sort of villain to hero tale there that we needed for that one. On The Guardian, they've got this very grim story about the biggest ever Tory donor who reportedly, allegedly, let's get all those words in there, said some very horrible stuff about Diane Abbott in a meeting in front of people, saying that looking at her makes you want to hate all black women, which is
good
just
grief.
Yeah, it came up on social media yesterday, and you know when you see something and think, I feel a little bit sick reading that anyone might say that. So yeah, very grim one. They've also got a bit on Donald Trump meeting with Viktor Orban. Trump will not fund Ukraine, says Orban. So yeah, lots of very grim news about horrible men on the front of that newspaper. Then the Daily Telegraph, finally, they've also got unphotoshopped William and Camilla, and Sunak's new gas plants ease risk of blackouts is their front page story. PM vows to build power stations and ensure energy supply despite net zero pledge. Strange, because I think there's been some bigger bad news for Rishi Sunak that happened yesterday, but the Telegraph for some reason aren't making that so big. Oh no, because the paper's so huge, it is there, but just not as prominently.
Below
Tories urge to change course as more MPs may join reform. The story of Lee Anderson, which I'm sure we'll get into a little bit later.
And Grunya, how are the tabloids looking?
So the Daily Mail are leading with, how did
Emphasis on did. How did Kate photo become a PR disaster? Princess issues extraordinary mea culpa after picture she edited helped fuel wild conspiracy theories about her health. And then to illustrate that, they have a picture of... Well, we can definitely see William is in the car, but there is just, let's just say there's just a picture of sort of a sad, skinny looking brunette lady looking out the window. Now, we don't know which sad, skinny brunette lady that's in William's life that it is.
Oh my God, we're going straight in there. I see this is a paparazzi picture taken yesterday.
But he is in the car with a sad brunette lady. Right. So we're assuming it's Catherine.
Is your tinfoil hat comfy?
With your sequined Y fronts. I mean, it's quite a look.
We live in unprecedented times, people. Then the Daily Mirror, again covering the same story. Family snap fallout. Picture of chaos. Is wow. that like that? It's like the next Doctor Strange. Picture of chaos. Kate sorry for editing image and palace in a spin over extraordinary backlash. And then there's a picture of the infamous picture that never was. Then The Sun also covering the same story. Mother's Day photo furore. Tricky word for me to say, I won't lie. This hour in the morning.
Well done. Yeah, you got through it.
Lay off Kate. Stop bullying over edited pic. The Sun says, so this is it's sort of an editorial on the front page saying, guys, back off.
Back off, followed by 6 pages of coverage of Kate. So some real backing off happening there.
And then the Daily Star, just saying, putting it much more simply and eloquently, they just have Kate's pic confession. Soz.
Yes. Jav, let's just take a slightly closer look at The Guardian's big scoop about Frank Hester. As you say, it's a very, very grim story. So he's the biggest donor to the Conservatives and he's come out with these really horrendous comments about Diane Abbott. What's going on here?
Yeah, so Frank Hester, he runs a healthcare tech firm called the Phoenix Partnership and he is the Conservative Party's biggest donor ever. They confirmed that not long ago. And basically, The Guardian has managed to get reports of him speaking in a meeting and saying that looking at Diane Abbott made you want to hate all black women and said that the MP should be shot.
Good
so,
God.
Yeah, he's given $10 million to the Tories in the past year. After publication of the remarks, a statement from TPP, his firm, said Hester accepts that he was rude about Diane Abbott in a private meeting several years ago, but his criticism had nothing to do with her gender nor colour of skin.
So he said she makes you want to hate all black women, but that's got nothing to do with the colour of her skin.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure this will go back and forth as he will push for how The Guardian found out about this, what level of evidence they have around it. I'm sure there's going to be all that sort of back and forth. But yeah, as I said when we first spoke about it, just really, really, really grim to read that anyone may potentially have said anything along those lines whatsoever. It's just really horrible.
And sort of particularly controversial. I mean, this horrendous comment that she should be shot in the context of fears about violence against MPs being on the rise. And you've got Michael Gove coming up with this new definition of extremism and so on. I mean, surely this falls rather foul of it, doesn't it?
Yeah, the Conservative Party and the Conservative government defining extremism at this point is, let's say, ironic.
Extremism is, I think, for them, people who might not vote for us.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that's their definition of what we should be worried about.
Yeah, I mean, we should say that Frank Hester's company's lawyers have said that these comments were not a true or accurate characterisation of his company, TPP, or of Hester himself. But today, the Labour Party has called on the Conservatives to return £10 million in donations from Frank Hester, calling it a stain on the Conservative Party. Now, yesterday we covered the story that photo agencies had withdrawn an official picture released by the Princess of Wales because it had been heavily digitally altered. The story is all over the papers again today, with all sorts of versions of the picture with bits of it circled and investigated and so forth. But some of them, notably The Sun, have done what is known in the industry as a reverse ferret. Yesterday, they were all selling copies by provoking speculation about why this photo might have been altered. Today, some of them are clutching their pearls and gasping, "How dare you speculate about why this photo must have been altered?" Is that really what The Sun's going for, Grunion?
they are exactly going for that. They're very like, lay off Kate, leave her alone. And I just think this angle is just so crazy. So what we're expected to believe is that Kate is so sick, she is not going to be in the public eye until June. Okay, fine, mm-hmm. leave her alone. While also she has, I mean, what is she up at her little laptop? She's trying out this new Photoshop software. She's bored. She's playing about. And she herself, even though she's so sick, we're not going to see her till June, she was the one who edited this. She put it out. God love her, she went a little bit too far. And sure, they're just a family business. Who else would check? She just tweeted it herself. And she was the one, maybe she's a little bit vain or maybe she didn't like her hair and she went a little bit too far with the filter. And so we're expected to believe that. Mm. We haven't seen her since December. And none of this is suspicious or strange. And if we do question that none of this makes sense, guys, the Sun says we need to lay off Kate.
We're bullying.
We're bullying. Yeah. Hashtag be nice. Be kind.
Well, there was some info in the metadata of the photo saying that it was edited at around 10 o'clock at night at one point and then at 9 a.m. or something the next morning too. I saw the BBC got into that. Yeah, I don't see her up on a MacBook doing that at that time. But also the issue with this is I couldn't fuck that photo up that badly because I don't know Photoshop well enough to make those sort of mistakes. It's not like she went, oh, I'm going to put a weird filter on this and it's kind of made something a bit strange. It's not a minor edit, is it? But yeah.
Well, I mean, you can see in the Sun because they're one of the papers that has done a full kind of circling of all the differences. I mean, The Guardian found 20. They've got, you know, a good dozen or so circled here. I mean, it's a lot of editing on this photo. You know.
According to The Sun, Kate just wanted Mother's Day pic to be perfect.
Right. I mean, this is a sensational screw up by the royal household, really, isn't it? I mean, to release this photo when there is all this speculation already about this poor woman's health. And I mean, you know, let's be honest, she's probably had a pretty hard time and she probably is going through something quite rough and probably does deserve a level of privacy, which naturally the press and the public do not wish to afford her. But unfortunately, by releasing this, what they've done is actually massively legitimise and provoke further speculation, haven't they?
And it's what I find my boggling to my brain is that the royal family, the palace, they have been protecting Kate at every stage. And now they've been like, yeah, it's Kate's fault. Catherine did it.
Bad at Photoshop.
Yeah. It's extraordinary, but also I don't know, like, what people listening to it, what their weather has been like. In London, we have had 3 months of constant drizzle. It's just like, you know, like in Narnia, it was like never-ending winter. What we've been experiencing is just never-ending gloom. And this story has cheered me up. It's so crazy. It's uniting the whole nation. It's like a royal episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm where every day you're like, it can't get worse. It can't get worse. And then they do something even madder. So I am truly grateful to the House of Windsor, to whoever is behind this, because I haven't seen daylight since I haven't seen daylight since I've seen Kate. So the fact that we have this together as a nation, as the economy and the world implodes around us, I mean, quite kind.
Looks
actually
quite sunny in the pic. There's another conspiracy theory for you.
This after the Wonka experience has been exactly what we needed, isn't it? I'm waiting for Kate to apologise for that.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Now, yesterday, the former Tory deputy chairman, Lee Anderson, defected from the Conservatives to Nigel Farage's outfit Reform, giving them their first MP in the House of Commons. Jarve, how big of a deal is this?
It totally depends on who you ask is the issue with that, I suppose. Lee Anderson clearly wants it to feel like a big deal. How big a deal it will actually prove to be at this moment, who knows? So apparently up to 9 or so Tory MPs might be considering defecting, which obviously would be very embarrassing for Rishi Sunak, but it's not quite as maybe as dramatic as, say, the amount of resignations we saw around Boris Johnson when he had to go, and it sort of really forced him into it. Also, Reform, I do think, gets over-egged as to how much of a force it might be. It's clearly polling in a way that makes it substantial and we can't ignore it. But Lee Anderson is their first MP. They haven't managed to do this before. And, you know, the connection to Nigel Farage as this person who gets loads of stuff done, he hasn't managed to do it in general elections. So who knows? There's not going to be a by-election here. It doesn't look like, even though Lee Anderson said that he thinks anyone who defects should call a by-election, he's gone, oh, it's actually quite expensive to do that.
But not me, though.
No, exactly. No, and his, I think the argument being that there's a general election quite soon. So, yeah, it depends who you ask. If you ask Labour, they'll say it's a big deal because it's so bad for the Tories. Look how terrible this makes Rishi Sunak look. Then you ask some Tories who will say, who cares? We're still going well. There's a couple, you know, quoted here in The Guardian saying, I doubt that he'll be joined by any others defecting. But then there are other backbenchers who go, oh, you know what, actually the red wall, which we constantly seem to have gravitated all politics around, they're going to be really demoralised at the moment, and maybe Lee going and do this will mean that, you know, it causes more and more issues for Sunak. Lee Anderson should be a 2019 intake MP that no one pays any attention to, that he came in on the wave of Boris Johnson like a load of useless people did, and hopefully they will all go out of Parliament and we'll never hear from them again. But because Rishi Sunak promoted him to try and save himself in some way, and then it's, oh no, I invited a fox in and now it's eating me, is what seems to have happened here. So it's a big deal, and obviously it looks embarrassing for Sunak, but really it's just attention-seeking, horrible bloke seeking attention.
I mean, speaking of attention-seeking, horrible blokes seeking attention, Gráinne, the Times has a story that Boris Johnson is going to be levered out of his political grave and sent to the Red Wall. Again, the Red Wall. What have they done to deserve this?
What, they know what they've done. The Red Wall is bloody the political area that's similar to Lee Anderson. They just want attention. They're messy girls. Red Walls are messy girls, and we keep giving them attention and they keep demanding more, so we've only ourselves to blame. So yeah, they're bringing Boris Johnson, and I just hope, if you're listening in the Red Wall, just have a little think.
I'm David Baddiel. I'm a writer and a comedian and a Jew.
I'm Saeed Avasi. I'm a businesswoman and a politician and a Muslim.
Jews and Muslims always seem to be in the news or on the news. Lots of people talk about us, and this is us talking about ourselves. The kind of things that people say don't touch, we are going to go there.
I mean, I think Jews and Muslims are talking about these things, but I think they're not talking about them together because they're worried that if they do, sparks might fly. A Muslim and a Jew go there.
Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Now on Paper Cuts, we get to our beloved headlines. What have the UK press come up with today, Jarv?
On page 3 of The Star, there is a story about, apparently, anger as US transforms Nessie from a she to a he. So I didn't realise this, that the Loch Ness Monster has always been called a she forever.
Has apparently. It?
Yeah, I didn't know this.
Okay, yes, yes, our Scottish correspondent in the corner is nodding. Yes, yeah. Okay, fine.
I think monsters are like ships. They're always she, that's the way it goes.
But not Bigfoot. No. Bigfoot's not a ship.
Who knows?
He's a
who
he.
Knows? But so there's this book, American author Lana Ferguson has penned a romantic novel, a steamy fantasy story called Under Lock and Key. I hope the Loch Ness Monster isn't too heavily evolved in the steamy aspects. Anyway, but they've gone for the headline Loch Ness Mister. For that. That's.
Yeah, that's.
It's, yes, underwhelming. Right. There you go. Let's move on. Page 23 in the Daily Mirror. So this is in their diary section, and there's a story about Sir Elton John. He'll be breakdancing down the red carpet next year after his double knee replacement. I'm not quite sure if he will be breakdancing. I don't think he's really not said that. No, his husband, okay, his husband said he will be. I assume he's been sarcastic.
It's probably a bit of a joke, isn't
maybe
it?
Not. Yeah. We probably could take this in complete earnest. But they've gone for he's a socket man.
Ah, oh, that's quite good.
Yeah, I quite like it.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. Gráinne, what have you got for us?
So the sun just having a great morning. Well done. Treat yourself all to a meal bought for by that Tory donor. So they have on page 3, cream egg superfan Zara Wistomly eats 50 cream eggs each month and says no amount is enough.
Gosh, I mean, 50 is quite a lot. It's like nearly two a day. And she takes the odd day off.
She looks gorgeous. Like, it's working for her.
Maybe she doesn't eat anything else.
Headline is Living the Cream.
Oh, and exclusive.
Exclusive. Oh. Zara, you really are living the cream. Well done. Then also in the Sun, because Cheltenham is getting underway, the story that the two tallest jockeys in the world both have high hopes as they seek glory at the Cheltenham Festival. Headline is Tall Bets Are Off.
Hey, I don't know, that's all right. That's good.
And they are Willowy, a 6 foot 4 inches and 6 foot. Oh, they're both 6 foot 4 inches. And
that is quite big for a jockey, isn't it?
Listen, I am 5 foot two. Mm. And the idea that I could be a jockey if I wanted is sometimes the only thing that gets me through the day. So I'm sick of it. Tall people have been models and everything else.
Yeah, they're taking it all.
To leave it for short queens like me.
Now it's time to slip gently into the soothing waters of the features sections. And in Metro, we have the story that Gen Z workers are turning down jobs if they don't like their boss's star signs. Jav seems quite reasonable. Can you just tell us what's going on here?
Yeah, I don't know if I can completely tell you what's going on because it doesn't make any sense, but I can tell you what they're suggesting is going on. So yeah, there's this headline here, I can't work with an Aries, candidates are turning down jobs based on star signs. And it starts off, it's quite featurey, about someone called Jareer Mallow was floored when a candidate recently turned down a job offer because they learned their direct supervisor was an Aries. Apparently, Aries are abrupt, rude and overbearing. Jareer, a human resources manager at the language app Ling, tells metro.co.uk. So yeah, look, in a sort of a tough job market, this just feels really like not the way to go. I don't really know anything about star signs. I'm not going to say I do or say I hold much sort of faith in them. But look, turning down a job because you think the boss might be horrible is one thing, but because you've extrapolated that the month they were born in might create that seems rather ridiculous to me.
So I did do some research this morning, and Rishi Sunak is a Taurus, big stubborn bull. Lee Anderson is a Capricorn, sort of capricious little goat. So maybe there is something in this. Maybe this is the behaviour. Gronya, this must seem totally reasonable to you, surely.
I think it's, I genuinely do think it's fascinating. I mean, obviously, I think these sort of stories are picked out as an example, you know, that old story, like young people today are the worst. That has always been the case. Nobody has ever said, oh, young people today, I think they've got it.
They're really reasonable. Yeah.
They figured it out. So I think realistically, you know, as Jarvis was saying, in the current job market, it's probably not indicative of most people's experience. But I do think it's interesting. I feel like people who came of age during lockdown, it was like a Matrix red pill thing where they were like, hang on a sec, none of this makes sense. Like, what you see TikToks of people going, hang on a sec, I have to commute for 2 hours to do a job I hate, 2 hours back, and I have no life and my mental health is terrible. Why are we doing this? And I think when they come out with stuff like that, I think older people, we find it quite like, oh, stop, you're crazy. What are you talking about? Everything makes sense. So I think we find it a little bit unsettling. And then I think, okay, so there's horoscopes, like most things, it's like nonsense or does it make sense? Who knows? But it's like just different types.
Who knows?
That's just from our science correspondent.
Who knows?
But it's like it's just a different type of knowledge, different type of wisdom, a different prism to view the human experience. And this is not just a Gen Z thing. So, famously, Jennifer Lopez will not work with Virgos.
Will she not?
She will not hire Virgo dancers.
What is it that Virgos do?
She just doesn't like them. She doesn't mess with Virgos.
Bad energies.
She did this like audition for dancers and she said, if you're a Virgo, leave now.
I think also it can work two ways and save you here. For example, there's a piece here where someone confessed to this reporter that when they have two candidates of equal ability and experience, they will look at star sign compatibility with other team members. And of course, you know, information like that is on a CV where they'd put the date of birth. Honestly, if I apply for a job and the hiring manager is looking at my star sign, I don't want that job. So that is great. That is totally fine. I think if this happens to you, in some ways, not ideal, but at the same time, you have dodged a sort of mystic bullet there. Don't go and work at that place where they are insisting you're a particular star sign to work there.
Especially not when Mercury is in retrograde.
What star sign are you?
I'm a Sagittarius.
Mm, yeah, that makes sense.
Which, yeah, that's why.
That makes sense.
But I'm also a Sagittarius. Are we the same?
I'm getting that. That's
what why are I'm you so fiery and angry today.
I'm the best star sign, Leo.
Oh, we got to watch out for you, though.
I love Leo. It's like, if anything, your flaws, you're too fabulous. You're just naturally the star of every room you walk into. Some people might get jealous of that.
And that's the end of today's Paper Cuts. Thanks to Jacob Jarvis.
Thank you.
Thanks to Gwanya Maguire.
You do love me. You really do.
Oh, of course we do, Gronya. And for the rest of you, don't forget the Paper Cut Supporters Club. From just £3.60 a month for all of this, fewer ads and more of the good stuff. Head over to back.papercutsshow.com and follow the link in the show notes. We'd just like to thank some of our gorgeous supporters right now.
Thank you very much to Sally Newell and to Anna Jenkins.
Thanks from me to our animal theme supporters, Melanie Duck and Lisa Salmon.
And I'd like to put out some big love for Stuart Brooks and Rebecca Bennett. I've been Alex von Tunzelman, and you've been listening to Paper Cuts on a day when the Star has revealed that motorists in Hertfordshire who take a leak on the side of the road will face a £100 fine and 3 points on their licence. Now you're really taking the piss. See you tomorrow.
Are you wondering if your star sign is compatible with our team? Well, Paper Cuts is written and presented by Sagittarius, Alex von Tunzelman, with Leo, Gronny Maguire, and Podmaster's managing editor, and also Sagittarius, Jacob Jarvis. Audio production and music are from Aquarius, Simon Williams. Production from Taurus, Liam Tate, and assistant production by the Libra that is me, Adam Wright. Designed by Scorpio, James Parrott, and socials are by Aries, Kieran Leslie. The group editor is Aquarius, Andrew Harrison, and the executive producer is Capricorn, Martin Boytosh. Paper Cuts is a Podmasters production.